Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. And it is, as always, a great word. Before I get started today, though, I have to shout out. Whew, Sisters United in Christ, for a magnificent over this past weekend. All I can say is thank you, Pastor Jesse, who was their guest speaker. It was awesome. God used everyone. And I just want to say thank you to Sonia Jones, who was our choir director, Terry, who was the dance coordinator. Everything was wonderful. The food was good. Everything was great. So, sisters, keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing, because you blessed many people. You blessed me. Whew, you blessed me. So, Father God in heaven, I just want to thank you for another day, asking you to watch over the sick and the shut-ins, asking you to watch over those that are in hospitals, that are in nursing homes, asking you to watch over our children, God, safe from all hurt, from all harm, from all danger. And Lord God, the word this morning, Lord God, your rhema word from your word, God, let it permeate the skyways, highways, and byways, God. Let someone who hears this word ask that may not be saved, what must I do to be saved? That they will want to know Jesus. That they will want to know the Savior. That they will believe and want him in their life. So, Father God, as I lift up this word, I ask you, as I ask every day, Father, please increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. And you, Lord God, are my redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. lifted up this word this morning, asking you to bless it in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Whew, thank you, God. This morning, we are in Psalms, the 37th Psalm, actually starting at verse number 12. And we are in the Proverbs starting at chapter 12, verse 11. And we're in the book of Luke, starting at verse 57. And all I can say is, again, what a great word this morning. God's word is true. And all we can do is say, thank you, Lord. Your word permeates my heart. Your word moves me forward. Your word does something to my spirit. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And we're going to start this morning with a prayer from our prayer book, our 365. And we will end with our 365 prayer today. And our prayer is, your will. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. The days pass and they start to blend into one another. It is so easy for me to get caught up in my schedule. As the days turn into weeks and the weeks into months, if I am not taking intentional time with you, I find my heart growing more tuned toward my needs and wants. But you, oh God, are bigger than my little life. Your ways are better than my most calculated plans. Lord, I don't want to live a small life only concerned with my little area of the world. I partner with you, God, that your ways would be manifest on the earth. May your will, your intentions, your desires be fulfilled on the earth just like they are in heaven. May my life be one of full submission and partnership with the King of Kings, that your will would be done in my life. Your kingdom come in the places I'll work and live. Give me eyes that see the vision of your love, changing hearts and lives all around. I yield myself to you, knowing your plans are better than my own. What a privilege it is to serve you, Lord God. And I lift this word up this morning, Lord, asking you to increase as I decrease. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may go back to another prayer before this hour is over. I have two more prayers that I'd like to pray, but God will show me where. So as we go into our psalm this morning, please join me in the 37th psalm, starting at verse number 12. And our title this morning is also coming out of the 37th Psalm this morning. And our word for this woman, I'm going to say, are ordered by the Lord. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. So why we're going left when we should go right? Maybe God wants you to go left instead of right to teach you a lesson. And I know that I've been taught many lessons because I went left instead of going right. Lost a lot of things by going left instead of right. And the reason why I lost those things is because I was depending on me and not depending on God. God wants us to depend on him. And it says the wicked plots against the just. And we see it happening every day on the airwaves, on our televisions, on our pads and phones. We see wickedness just out in the open now. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, but he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy. Are you catching this? To slay those who are of upright conduct. Their swords shall enter their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord upholds the righteous. You know, folks doing dirt all over and then thinking they can get away with it. Having their minions come and say, well, they shouldn't have to pay a price for doing wrong. Everyone has to pay a price. If you steal, you got to go to jail. If you kill, you got to go to jail. Understand, stealing and killing are one against the Lord's commandments, but they're also against the law. If you are doing those things, then you should understand that you may get arrested. You may get arrested for stealing. You can't walk into Walmart and put all kind of clothes underneath your clothes and think you're going to walk out the door with them. You can't go to Walmart, fill up a cart of everything you need, from food to clothes to shoes to whatever you might need, appliances, whatever, and walk out the door. You're not going to get away with it. You're going to jail. You can't go down Fifth Avenue and shoot someone and think you're going to get away with it. You're going to go to jail. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. You should pay the price for what you do wrong. Because if you don't pay it in this world, you will be paying it in the next. Because God does not play. Because he told us in his top 10, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. It's in the word of God. God has given us instructions. All we got to do is follow them. And as we go into our 37th Psalm, verse 18, it says, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. God knows how to feed his children. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the metal, shall vanish. They shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay. Come on now. We heard that before. We know there are those that think they can just borrow and borrow and borrow, and that they don't have to pay back. They don't have to pay you back for what they do. You got to give that to God. You know, well, I did this and they never did pay me back. You know, I did that and it took a lot of money, but they didn't pay me back. Give it to God and keep it moving. God sees and knows everything. God knows that folks didn't do right. God knows that they cheated you. God knows everything about everyone. And if they didn't do right, they will wonder why things don't go the way they are. It's because you didn't do right by someone that was the least among us. You cheated them. You stole from them. And you got to pay for it. And we will all pay for whatever our sin may be in either this life or the next. The borrower and does not repay. We see that also played out on our newsways and airways. But the righteous shows mercy and gives. But those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. And this is our title for today and what we need to keep in our spirit as we go through our day, as we go through our night, as we just go through the steps of man are ordered by the Lord. And we know that the term man in the Word of God incorporates everyone. It's not, it's mankind. It's what it is. It's just the steps of a good man, the steps of mankind, woman or man or child. It is all the same. And we know our children are male and female. But the bottom line is the steps of people. That makes more sense to folks. The steps of good people are ordered by the Lord. And he delights in his way. Though you fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. You will not be utterly cast down if you fall. We all fall short of God's glory, but by grace, by the faith that Jesus died for us and rose again, we are going to get back up again. And I'm going to read it again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Can you say, thank you, Lord, for upholding me with your hand this morning? Thank you, Lord, for giving me grace. Your grace is sufficient for me. I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants or seed, as King James says, begging bread. Hallelujah. Grateful. My children are well fed. I'm grateful. My grandchildren are well fed. They're fed the word of God because I bring them to church. Their parents bring them to church because we need to be in the house of God. And I have had to repent because in my younger years, I was arrogant. I thought I knew the word of God and I could teach my children at home. They didn't need to go to that church, but all of them hypocrites in it. Wrong, 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 triple wrong. And I always laugh. I said, in God's way of saying, okay, now you got to teach children because you know all this. Now you're going to really have to study and teach children, and gave me children's ministry, youth pastor. I was like, okay, God, that was ironic. He said, well, you said you can do it. Now you're going to do it. And I'm like, you are right, God. Whatever your will and your calling for my life is, that's what I would do. And I would do it with my whole heart. And I'm grateful because I love children's ministry. I love seeing children grow. And now, don't let me get all weepy-eyed, but when you see the children that you taught when they were little bitty guys, and you see them all grown up, becoming wives, becoming husbands, being parents, it does something to your spirit. You're like, wow, those were my babies, and look at them now. Fashion designers, auto shops, working as phlebotomist. One of my kids took my blood one day. I had to go to the doctor. And when I got there, and at first I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me, because we're both masked up, of course. And finally, she pulls her mask down, and I pull my mask down. And she said, oh, my God, Miss Bridget. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I called her name. And we were just hugging, masked back up, hugging, and I'm in all teary-eyed. And I said, well, when did you start working here? And she told me, and I said, oh, I just love you and I miss you. And she said, and I asked about her siblings and everything. It was just great. And when I tell you, this baby took my blood, I felt nothing. One bit, as they say, one stick, and she was done. Not a bruise, not a nothing, perfectly done at her job. And to know that I poured into this little girl, and now she is grown and taking my blood and doing a great job. That's why when we say I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken. And I say this because her mother brought her to church, brought her sibling to church. God is in charge of everything. And when you see our children growing, all you can say is, thank you, Lord, for ordering the steps. And so it says, told us in the word of God, depart from evil, do good, and dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. I got to put a pin there. The Lord loves justice. Not just for you, but wrong for me, but justice for all. If you do wrong, you should pay the price. If you do good, you should be rewarded for it. God is in charge. And folks that claiming to love God, but don't want justice for all, but justice for you, but not for this person or that person, because they're wealthy, because they're rich, because they've held this position or that position, we've got to watch as well as pray. Because the word of God is what we go by. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Hallelujah. Are you righteous? Are you calling on the name of Jesus this morning? Are you saying, Lord, preserve me. Lord, guide me. Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me your statutes. Lord, teach me your way so that I may walk in it. For I want to be your servant, your sheep, in your pasture, God. Guide me. Be my shepherd. Lead me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we got to know that the Lord is with us. He's with us every day. He who tills his land, Proverbs chapter 12, starting at verse 11. He who tills the land will be satisfied with bread. You got to go to work. But he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. You don't work, you don't eat. Proverbs continuing in verse 12. The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. As they say, loose lips sink ships, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. And the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. And I'm going to go back and read some life lessons from our psalm and our proverb, and then we will be going into the book of Luke chapter 1 and starting at verse 57, and we'll be going all the way to Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And when we go back into our psalms and our proverbs for a couple of life lessons. Actually, for one life lesson from our proverb, and it says, The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. And are we wise today? Are we listening? Are we listening to counsel? I am listening. I heard some things this weekend. I got to learn how to move forward and walk in my calling, walk in my life, get some things picked up, cleaned up, and put away. Because so many times you want to hold on to everything. I got to see what I got. No, you don't. Put some things away. Give some things away. It's time for a garage sale at my house. Lord knows it is. In Proverbs 12 and 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who gives counsel is wise. I'll naturally assume our own opinions are right. Come on now. No one thinks I believe this because I know it's untrue. Wise people, however, listen to contrary opinions to see if they might have made a mistake. Fool's song. Fool's song. You got folks all bent out of shape on what some are calling critical race theory and woke. Those are the two terms of the day, woke and critical race theory. CRT and woke. And personally, I want to be woke. I want to have my eyes open so I can see everything that's going on. Because the opposite of woke is sleep and are asleep. I don't want to be asleep in this world. I want to be awake. I want to be woke. I want to be woke to the voice of God. I want to be woke to understanding what's right and what's wrong. I want to be woke to know that God is righteousness. And when you are asleep, everything passes you by. So, Lord, wake me up this morning. I want to do over. So, yes, I want to be woke. And then when we get into this nonsense about critical race theory, all it is there are people that don't want history known. And we all know from the word of God that history unknown is history repeat. If you don't know what happened 200 years ago, if you don't know what happened 400 years ago, if you don't know what happened 2,000 plus years ago when our Savior died on the cross, you are asleep until you're not woke on who Jesus is. You're not woke on those commandments that God gave over 4,000 years ago. You're not woke on what God wants us to do as mankind. And as far as critical race theory, who do you think built the houses in so many places in this place called America? America, you need to feel uncomfortable. You need to feel uncomfortable to know that this country was built on the blood, sweat, and tears of people of color, of black men and women sold into slavery. But critical race theory is actually a legal term meant for law school. So don't fall for the okey-doke. It has nothing to do with history and black history and African-American history or Hispanic history or any history of people of color. It doesn't mean that. So you have folks taking African-American history, African-American studies out of schools and universities because they don't want folks to know their history. It's not where African history started. It started in the continent of Africa, in many nations in Africa. There's history, just like you have Irish history, just like you have European history. What's wrong with having African history? We've got to get out of foolishness. And God is going to tell us about ourselves. All we got to do is be ready to listen. Because when it's right, it's time. And I don't know why all of this came about, but I know that God is showing us in the Proverbs that he is the one ordering our steps. He is the one in charge of everything. He is the one that wants us to seek knowledge and understanding. In other words, family, it's time to get woke and not be asleep. Don't fall asleep, because when you wake up, you might be in chains. God wants us to know some things. And now as we get into our New Testament work, we're talking about Elizabeth. We know that as we started in Luke chapter 1, that Luke is the one that told us about Mary and about the angel Gabriel coming and letting her know she was going to get pregnant, that she would be pregnant with the Savior of the world. We know Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, whose husband Zacharias, who was a priest, had gone in, and because of his unbelief, he's like, I'm old. What you mean my wife is old? So we don't have a job. And he got muted. Can't talk. Because he didn't believe. He didn't understand what God was telling him. So he came out not able to speak. Elizabeth gets pregnant. Mary comes to visit. In her womb, her baby leaped. Her baby leaped for joy at the presence of Mary and the baby in her womb. Like knowing like, hallelujah, both spiritual children with assignments from God. John the Baptist was inside Elizabeth, and our Savior Jesus, God, Mary, spirits, Holy Spirit babies, leaping for joy in their mama's womb, knowing each other. Hallelujah. So you know that as Jesus grew up, him and John knew each other because they each had an assignment. And it says this, now Elizabeth full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, it shall be called John. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote saying, his name is John. So they all marveled, and immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loose, and he spoke praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these things were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their heart, saying, what kind of child would this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, whoa, glory. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, come on now, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you call, and you child, will be called, but of the highest. Praise the Lord. Can we say it with me? Praise the Lord. You child, talking to his son, John, and you child will be called the prophet of the holiest. He was the prophet of Jesus Christ. Prepare the way of the Lord, John spoke. And it says in the word of God to give knowledge of salvation to his people. And I love it. I got to go back to verse 16. It's not, I'm sorry, verse 76. when a father speaks to a son and lets him know, these are the expectations of you, my child. And he told him, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, but you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the which the day springs from on high as it gets it up, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Until the day of his manifestation in Israel. And as we finish up chapter 1 of Luke, a couple of life lessons. And it says in Luke 74 through 75, serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Those who fear God do not have to fear anything else. When we commit ourselves wholeheartedly to serve God, we can enjoy the intense pleasure that comes with holiness and righteousness. Ooh, praise God. Luke 1 and 78, the day spring from on high has visited us. Zacharias was referring to the prophecy of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 2. The Son of Righteousness shall rise. This, of course, was speaking about the Messiah. By first listing God's covenant to David and Abraham, and then referring to the last thing God said in Malachi, Zacharias was confirming that God had indeed kept every aspect of his promise to send the Messiah, the good news that Israel had been longing to hear, had finally arrived. Ooh, what a word. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Cornelius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Can I say that again? Her firstborn son. Which means if it says firstborn, then she had other sons, right? So those that say Mary was a virgin, but she had Jesus and never had any more children, that is not in the Word of God. That is not the truth. She had other children. She had James, and she had Judas. She had Jose. She had other children. She had daughters to Joseph. She had children. Jesus just was her firstborn son and her firstborn child. And he was the one that was special, conceived in her virginity. So you know that because she was a virgin, it was probably painful. But then it may not have been because she was special to God. He may have taken away all her pain. It does not say. But it does say that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. It's what it says in the inn. But as I did research on this story, it said that what happened in those days, there were homes, family homes, because this was the home of his family. Bethlehem was the home where he came from. And what happened is there were rooms within each home where there were guest rooms. And all the guest rooms in the homes were filled. But also the animals stayed within the home. They had like a shelter underneath the first floor, like say in a basement, where they kept their livestock in a manger type setting, in a place where they kept the household animals. And within the household animals, there would have been a manger. But understand, Mary could not have been in the guest room because then she was unclean after she had the baby. So because of her uncleanliness, they put them in this particular place because they had to be kept separate and apart from the rest of the family. And so it was not necessarily an inn, but it was more of they were not able to go into the guest area of the home, and they were placed in the family home where the animals are kept because Mary would have been ceremoniously unclean after having a child and had to be kept apart. So that is one of the things that I learned in some of my studies. And it says, and now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the thing which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the Christ, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And as we go back to a life lesson, this is a life question, actually, from Luke chapter 1. It says, what are the cares of a godly man? Until he became engaged to Mary, Joseph's life probably resembled that of most other men in his hometown. No doubt he had business concerns and goals for the future, but nothing serious interrupted his daily routine until Mary informed him she was pregnant. Then he revealed his godly traits. While the news must have shocked him, he clearly felt troubled for her and her reputation. God saw the confusion building inside of Joseph and sent an angel to tell him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. But he will save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. From this point on, Joseph never doubted God's will in choosing him to watch over Mary and her son. He remained faithful not only to his wife, but also to God. He showed courage by ignoring the ugly rumors swirling around down about Mary's pregnancy. He valued God's plan above all what others might think of him. He remained sensitive to the Holy Spirit demonstrated by his acceptance of God's guidance. After the birth of Jesus, an angel appeared to him, warning him of impending danger. Joseph immediately took Mary and Jesus to Egypt until the threat passed. Joseph, a humble man, honored God by obeying his word. He remained consistent and content and could be counted on to follow God regardless of the personal cost. Because he and Mary both could have been killed, could have been stoned to death. But he accepted her as his wife and kept it moving because he knew he was doing the will of God. How can you grow in your faith to become a godly individual? Start by committing yourself to a consistent daily walk with Christ. Attend a church where the word of God is proclaimed as the standard of life. I talk to every Sunday, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Make an open commitment to God and to your loved ones that you will not abandon your devotion to Christ or to them. You gain a sense of godly responsibility when you stand up for what is right. A godly person is not easily swayed, but is filled with conviction, faith, and prayer. When Joseph had no one else but God and confidence, he turned to God and found the strength and love he needed to get through the most difficult. When you make Joseph's spiritual commitment your own today, hallelujah, will you allow the Lord to order your footsteps today? Will you allow God to guide your way today? Will you trust in the Lord today? Will you give over to God all that is God, which is you? The steps of a good man are ordered by God. Joseph understood that. Luke chapter 2, verse 10, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. The angel told the shepherds not to fear, but to open their eyes and look for the wonderfully good things that God was doing for them and for the whole world, something that would bring great joy to everyone. And note, God proclaimed the birth of Christ to shepherds because he would be the shepherd of the world. Praise the Lord. 2 verse 25 through 52. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in Christ Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is the same for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna. I love this Anna. A prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was a great agent and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Woo, she was a widow for 84 years. And if you add 7 to that 84, you have 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91. She was a 91-year-old woman who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, city Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were more amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Because we all know he became an official rabbi. Jesus was a rabbi. That's why they called him Rabbani. That's why he was a teacher, because he was a rabbi. So he was important to people. He was fulfilling his destiny. To men, he was a rabbi. To us and to all those that knew, he was the Savior of the world. It says in this, "Simeon, hold in the arms of God. The years are catching up to me," Simeon must have thought, as he made his way to the temple. How many years had it been since he had received the special word of the Lord? 5, 10, it didn't matter. Each day brought him closer to the fulfillment of God's promise. He would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Christ. At that moment, a young couple emerged into the temple porch with a newborn son. The child, Simeon thought, he approached the young family, took the babe in his arms, and immediately knew this was the one for whom he had waited so long. God had kept his promise. Posted at the crux of history, the old soldier foresaw that the greatest battle of all time would be faced, fought, and won by this teeny child. There he stood, breathing the breath of Christ while in the arms of God. Ooh, hallelujah. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus had to grow just like every other human child. He became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, because he grew up in the grace of God. God's grace is what makes us both strong and wise. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2, verse 47. All who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. From very early age, Jesus spent a lot of time alone with his Heavenly Father, a practice that made him spiritually mature far beyond his years. You can always tell when someone has nurtured a close relationship with God. Woo, hallelujah, filled up. Luke chapter 2, verse 50, they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Even as a boy, Jesus spoke of spiritual issues in ways that his heart Christians, hearers, often did not understand. Serious Christ followers, however, strived to gain understanding, as did Mary and his disciples. And our last life lesson for this word is this, Luke chapter 2, verse 51. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, yet God had placed him in the care and under the authority of his parents. So he submitted to them, not as an inferior, but as in obedience to God. Hallelujah. What a mighty word this morning. Father God, we thank you for the listening and the reading of your mighty word today. Thank yours, and may we be doers of your word today. And before we get out, a couple of words from our sister in Christ, and then our prayer and our word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And on yesterday was this. I pray that the peace of God fills your home today, and that that the calm presence and comfort of the Holy Spirit resides with you. And I say yes, and thank you, Lord. And this is our word for today. God can do anything. Have an abundantly blessed Sunday. And the thing is, all up in the word again today, the steps of God, of a good man, are ordered by God. God never fails. God never fails. Hallelujah. And the word for today is our prayer. It's this. With joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. God of my great joy, you are wonderful. Right here where my feet are planted is where I will jump for joy, because you are good. When I look at my life, I see the mark of your mercy all over it. Your delight over me fills me with courage, and I can't help but rejoice over your great love when I thought I had lost the ability to feel joy. When the dark night and the light of life felt like a distant memory, you led me out into an open space to rest. Slowly, as my heart opened to the light of your love, I felt its rays softening the hardness as the heart comes alive in you again. How could I not rejoice? I am so grateful that joy is not superficial. It reaches to the depths. It feels the deepest crevice of pain and flows into the cracks that seem too deep to reach. How good you are, O faithful one. And I ask today, as the Lord orders your steps, what joys are in your life right now? I thank God that he has brought me peace and that I'm getting better every day because God is ordering my steps. Hallelujah. May God order your steps this morning, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' holy and perfect name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family, knowing that God sent Son for you and for me. Have a blessed day. It is a wrap. Remember, church announcement, we will be broadcasting Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 6 o'clock a.m. instead of 7. I have to get my grandson to school, and by broadcasting at 7, I would make him late. So I will be broadcasting 6 a.m. starting tomorrow morning, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We'll be back to normal on Thursday. So thank you so much, family. Have a blessed day. It is a wrap.